Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. Roxy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing...
I love it. I love
how
it.
How are you doing, you know, DJ?
I'm also doing... You know, it's been an interesting week, I think, for everybody. But, you know, we're here. We've got some fun things to talk about. For those that don't know, this is the show where we like to talk about movies, TV shows, comic books, and anything else that we like to talk about. And this week's episode specifically, we're going to be using the backdoor pilot that was in this week's Black Lightning called Painkiller as kind of a jumping off point to discuss pilots. I think it is fair to say, Roxy, that you were a bit of a TV expert.
You might say I'm an absolute TV expert, DJ.
So I was excited. I was trying to think of like what we could discuss, and I was like, it'd be cool because we've got some pilots popping off. It'd be cool to talk to you about TV things. I don't think you and I have ever really dived into the topic of pilots, and I think they're very interesting.
Well, also, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe you have, DJ, but I've written several pilots. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe you're in a similar camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we can learn something today.
You know what? Maybe we can learn something today. Maybe you at home can learn something today. If you would like to watch this full episode live, you can do that at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. It also helps keep the lights on the show. So before we get into our main discussion today, we're obviously going to be talking about what we're into this week. But I also want to talk to you guys about the fact that if you listen to the show on Spotify, you can, there's a question with every episode that you can answer on Spotify. Last week's question was, should DC bother with a quote unquote shared universe or stick with standalone movies? Stormy Wood says, for now, I think standalone is the right way. If in 5 or 10 years they have a great idea and a proven record, then try a team movie again. Love the show and hearing both of your insights. Hashtag rockstar. Xavier Thomas says, I think it'd be better to do standalone movies because I'm a little burnt out with this shared universe idea. Next week's question, the question on this episode will be, what are your favorite TV pilots? Also, you can review this show on iTunes. We appreciate 5-star reviews. That really helps the show. Just throwing this out there, we've gotten a couple 1-star reviews too. So if you guys want to step up and counteract.
As of recently,
saying.
They're coming for me, aren't they, DJ?
They are not.
They're coming for me, DJ.
But I will say, say whatever mean thing you want to me, but give us the 5 stars is what, and then I'll read the mean. If you want me to read the mean thing you say about me, give us 5 stars and I'll do it.
You can read mean things about me too. I love doing that. It's kind of like mean tweets.
Yeah, I don't say mean things about my friends. I don't like it.
Or all you guys in here who actually like us, go leave a 5-star review.
Go leave a 5-star review to counteract the people that are being mean. So you can do that. But now let's dive into what we're into this week. I don't know why I pulled my pen out. I'm going to leave a note on the computer, which does not need my pen. So, Roxy, let's talk about Teenage Bounty Hunters.
Okay. So I'm really upset about this one.
Okay. I'm going to imagine I know why.
I went on GPA, Good People Association, mm-hmm. and was doing the positivity report in the morning with Josh McCuga. And we were friend doing a little show. Bit of TV. What'd you say?
Friend of the show, Josh McCuga.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Friend of the show, Josh McCuga. So we were doing a little TV conversation because Josh and I watch more TV than any people that we know. And mm-hmm. so he was like, did you ever end up watching Teenage Bounty Hunters? I've recommended it to you several times. I was like, no, I forget that you recommended that to me. And he was like, okay, I really think you're going to love it. It's one of the greatest shows that's dropped recently. That being said, just go into it knowing that it was canceled. It's mm-hmm. been canceled. Yeah. And I was like, I hate starting shows that have been canceled because mm-hmm. A, often they're not very good. B, when they are, you so upset.
Yep.
And this is obviously the latter. I am what I believe is 6 episodes into a 10 episode series.
Okay.
This show is mind-blowingly good. It is so good. And I cannot believe I feel bad for the part that I have in this.
Mm-hmm. You've watched it.
Yeah. I feel like if I had just watched it, they wouldn't have canceled it.
It's Netflix, correct?
It's a Netflix show. It's about these two teenage girls who kind of fall into being bounty hunters.
Yeah.
They don't, they're not doing it on purpose. And then all of a sudden they end up being these bounty hunters. And it is hysterical.
That's awesome.
Like it is really, really funny. Now, DJ, something that you and I really don't like, they do a decent amount on this show, which is we are watching high school kids like make out and talk about sex and stuff.
Cool.
I just remind myself these actors are 26. Yes. So, you know,
these actors are full blown adults. They're not even, just barely adult. No, they're grown ups.
They're full blown adults. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. But at the same time, whenever that happens, I'm like, but they do it in such a way that it is cringy on purpose, where it's like, when you are coming up, you don't know how to talk about these things. And they go to a very, very, sorry if I get this wrong, I don't know the difference between these two things in terms of school. It's either a Christian or a Catholic. I think Christian school. Is there such thing as a Christian school?
Yeah, there's Christian schools and there's Catholic schools. And it's just a difference of denomination. I know a lot of my friends.
Yeah, so they go to a very Christian school in the South. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're being taught by the people in school that sex is wrong, and mm-hmm. they're trying to figure it out. And they're these two girls who just like their values come out throughout the entire show. You know, they have clear, like they've been told things. So, you know, they see cigarettes are wrong. Mm-hmm. And like this, whatever it is, they just like keep saying things, but as they're breaking their own rules and they're bounty hunting, and it's just so funny. And I'm really upset with why this is an original concept. I've never seen something like this. The two main girls are both phenom actors, like phenom young actors. We're going to be seeing them do a effing ton in the future.
Yeah.
And why this did not blow up, I have no idea. This is so up people's alleys.
Do you know when it dropped? Was it 2019 or 2020?
I think it was 2020.
Is there any chance that we're still close enough that there might be, like, is it done, or is there any chance it might get resurrected someplace?
I mean, isn't Netflix the place?
Netflix is, Netflix is typically the place. And normally if you get, like, it's not like if you're Amazon Prime, you pick up like a canceled sci-fi show or a canceled,
right,
like from a traditional network, as opposed to picking up from another streaming platform.
So I guess it dropped August 2020.
I mean, we're not that far out. Listen, Warrior, this should have been, I should have put this on the news. Warrior, I'm going to put that on the news right now. Hold on. Warrior. Boop, boop. Warrior just got picked up for
a third season.
And that last season, I think, dropped in 2020. So maybe, you know, obviously that had the weirdness of like the network it was on stopped doing scripted dramas because of HBO Max. And so then HBO Max brought it back. I don't know. You know what? This is bad of me. I'm trying to give you hope in a situation where, if we're being honest, there probably isn't any. So I shouldn't do that. That's not fair of me.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you're right, or that there is hope here. It's really good. Everybody on the show is a phenomenal performer. There's also like a mystery element that's going on. And I'm just surprised, because I think that it would tap the audience of the people who like things like the Gossip Girls of the world, because it is like a teen, I don't know whether, I think it's a comedy more than a drama.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it kind of taps that. But like also Josh McCuga loved it because it's so out there and raunchy and wild and like, what is happening?
So you're saying the CW should pick it up, but probably won't because of standards and practices or whatever.
Yeah, it almost feels like it could be an FX show.
FX makes good shows.
It's so good. And I don't know. I also, as an East Coaster, I'll be honest, I have very, very few Southern friends. Mm-hmm. I came from the East Coast. I live on the West Coast. So I've always been fascinated by Southern culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are two teenage girls who walk around carrying guns, going to a Christian school with the values that they believe, and going to church on Sundays. And it's a whole lifestyle that they have tapped into that I'm like, I am so interested right now in what is happening. This is incredible to watch because it's so foreign to me.
Well, it sounds like I should check it out because I did not go to a Christian school. I was homeschooled. But I had a lot of friends that went to conservative Christian schools. So it does sound like there's some overlap there. And also that concept of bounty hunters interests me. Can I make a recommendation to you that I think you might enjoy of a show that I dearly love? You might have actually watched it. I dearly love that was canceled after its first season. But the ending of that first season is actually perfect. Like, it's actually a perfect note to end on.
What is it?
It's on, I think it's on Hulu now because it was an FX show. It's called Terriers.
No, I didn't watch it, but I've been told by so many people that the show is excellent.
So good. And while, yes, depressing that it only got one season, the note it ends on, the final scene is just such a perfect, like, it would have been perfect lead into a second season, but it's also simultaneously a perfect, like, no, this is a perfect way to end the show, which is such a rare, you know, we're going to be talking about pilots today, but ending a show is actually incredibly difficult. Ending a season, especially if you don't know if you're getting another one, is incredibly difficult.
Yeah. I still haven't finished this season yet, so I don't know if this ends in an okay way. I'll keep you guys posted. Next week, I'll have an update for you guys on the back half of the show, because I certainly will finish by then, because I ran through 6 episodes in like a day.
To go on to other stuff with news, I mentioned it earlier, Warrior is getting a season 3 on HBO Max. I don't have an asset for it because you all were here when I realized we should talk about it on the
news. Y'all were here.
But
Don't
pretend you weren't. But I want to bring it up. Roxy, have you checked out Warrior at all?
No, and I'm so bummed because you like Warrior. Steph Sabraw, my other partner in crime, likes Warrior. Mm-hmm. Joe Starr, my OG partner, likes mm-hmm. Warrior. Like, everybody likes Warrior. But here's what I'll say, DJ.
Yeah.
And you tell me how you feel. Everyone says to me, I don't know if it will be your cup of tea.
Why do they say that, do you think?
I don't know. So I don't feel so enticed to start the show because what do you think? You think it might be my cup of tea?
I'm interested by that because you strike me as the type of person, like, I don't know if something would not be your cup of tea. I know I would hesitate currently based on conversations we've had about suggesting stuff like if you hadn't watched Chernobyl, I wouldn't necessarily start right now, like with everything we've got going on, because it's harrowing. It's a tough watch.
Yes.
This is not that. This is fun. I my impression is that your tastes are pretty broad and
right. I like everything. I'm all over the map.
I would think definitely give it. I think you'll know how you feel about it with the first episode because it very much is what it is. For those that don't know, Bruce Lee was pitching around a show that would eventually now become Warrior. Actually, at the time, it became Kung Fu, and they just gave the role to a white lead. So that's that. Anyway, but good news on that, there's now a remake of Kung Fu on CW with an Asian actress in the lead, so they're trying to kind of like reclaim that. But anyway, a lot of his show notes became... his daughter is a producer on the show. It became a lot of the basis for the show. And who knows how much of that is true. Obviously, they use that as a big part of the marketing. But it takes place in, I want to say, the 1890s in San Francisco. And it follows a lot of the Chinese immigrant culture at that time, with different like Chinese American tongs or gang, or the tong does not mean gang, but the ones we're following are essentially gangs. And it's a martial arts show. I believe it's from the showrunner of Banshee. So anybody that watched that show on Cinemax, like, everybody's fighting all the time. Everybody's fighting and fucking and all this stuff. Like, that's what this show is.
I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I like Banshee a lot. 4th season's okay. But the overall, I like that show a lot. I like this show a lot. I will say, if I were to critique this show, it is more interested in its white characters than I am. It's definitely like a 50-50 show. Like, we spend a lot of time with these Chinese
That's
characters.
That's a really nice way of describing it.
Yeah, and then we spend a lot of time with like the cops and like the politicians. And it's like, and if it doesn't, for me, if it doesn't directly impact the Chinese immigrants, those characters, I don't care. But not that any of that's bad. I just think that's more where it's interesting. And also its view of race. So far, I'm only halfway through season 2, is very binary. We've got our Asian characters, we've got our white characters. And like we talked about earlier with like Black Cowboys, it's like, there would have been black people around. There would have been Hispanic people around. There would have been, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm excited, as cool as it is to have a show that spends so much time, like, and the focal point is it's Asian characters, it's Chinese characters. the I'm excited that conversations are broadening and realizing how diverse our conversations are, less binary and are more inclusive. And in season two, they're starting to introduce there's a Latin American character and a Black character. They're very small roles right now. I'm hoping to see more of them. Maybe in season three, we'll get more. But the way it handles language is really interesting because obviously a lot of the Chinese characters would have primarily spoken in, I believe, Mandarin.
So it is in English.
It is in English. And when they're talking to each other, it's in English. But they let you know, in early episodes, they make it very clear that when they're talking to each other without like a white person around, they're speaking to each other in Chinese. And then,
we're hearing it in English.
Yeah. And I think they do a really good job of like keying you in on how that works. And also
there's no subtitles in the show.
Sometimes if two Chinese characters are in a room talking to each other and there's a white person present and we're from their perspective, they'll be hearing it in their language with subtitles. You know what I mean? Just to know that person doesn't understand what they're saying. And so there is a little bit of like, but I think the show does a good job of like teaching you to think about like, realize what's happening and when that's happening. Similar to if anybody's ever watched Vikings, that show has a lot of heavy lifting because actually nobody spoke English at the time of that show. Even when you're in England, people aren't speaking English as we know it then. And so there's a little bit, even more of a learning curve to let you know like, hey, nobody's speaking English right now.
Where is this show?
It's on HBO Max. It was a Cinemax show. It was the last scripted Cinemax show. And Cinemax stopped doing that to make, because Cinemax is owned by Warner Brothers. It's weird. Like, I don't quite know the relationship there.
What is Cinemax now?
I guess just movies and maybe old skin flicks that they have. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the, cause I know that used to be Cinemax's bread and butter. Right. But yeah, this was their last scripted show and now it's an HBO Max show. And I'm glad I don't know how season two ends, but I am glad it's going on because, it's a great showcase for a lot of like Asian American or Asian British actors of Asian descent. Joe Taslim, who was in the Raid movies and who was also playing Sub-Zero in the Mortal Kombat movies, is in that. And it's just one of those like so many incredible actors, but also incredible fighters, action performers on the show. And the action scenes are really cool and exciting. So I say if you get a second, obviously you're doing the Teenage Bounty Hunter thing. But if you get a second.
Yeah, but I'm going to be done with that in like a day, DJ. You know how I do.
I also wanted to point out Jason Tobin, who plays a character named Young June. He briefly pops up, I believe. I have to go back and double check that. I think he briefly pops up in the new Fast and Furious 9 trailer. I think he played a character in Tokyo Drift. And maybe his character's coming back. And he's also he's popping up on other stuff. He's also in... I'm blanking that the director that kind of resurrected the Fast movies,
Justin Lin.
He was in his, breakout movie, Better Luck Tomorrow, which was his movie, Justin Lin's movie before doing Tokyo Drift and then reinventing the Fast franchise into something that's good. My wife and I actually just watched the Fast and Furious movie last night. And the early 2000s were a time, huh?
I like this new trailer. It's so silly.
The magnet stuff. I was like, is that how... wrong question, DJ. Is that how magnet works? No, that's not how magnets work. That doesn't matter.
What are you trying to do? Make this real?
And that's... I was telling my wife last night, we were talking about it, that like I think Justin Lin was hired to make like a Hot Wheels movie, like based off the toys Hot Wheels. And it's like, what? That's what Fast and Furious is now. Yeah. Like that's what it is. What? And that sounds like a diss, but it's not. I love these movies. They genuinely like, they're really entertaining.
But you know what I decided about myself is that like, I think I'm a pretty strong writer and I really, really would love to be in like one of these big franchise writers rooms just because it probably operates so differently, but I would not do well in a room that lacks logic. I love watching movies that lack logic, but in the room I would be like,
I'm with you. And even then I'm a big believer in it. Even if your internal logic needs to make sense. Like, okay, so the Captain America shield doesn't operate the way things work, but then you say it's made of vibranium. You're like, okay, Cool.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to have a problem if John Walker comes up with his homemade shield and it's working. If it works the same way as the cap shield, I'm going to have a problem.
Then you fucked up your own logic.
Yeah, you fucked up your internal logic. Again, I don't love the idea that just some dude without super soldier serum can chuck that shield like no problem. But you eased me in because you said that's what John Walker was doing. So now it's okay. So I guess that's what Sam, I guess you don't need the. And then there was a moment where I was like, well, because in the last episode, when John Walker took the super soldier serum, he threw the shield and it lodged in the wall. I'm like, okay, so if you want it to be that strong, you have to have super soldier serum. And then Sam just wings it into a tree. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe there just aren't rules. I don't know. I'm trying too hard. It doesn't matter, I guess.
I always am trying too hard. I'm like, but.
So speaking of internal logic and shows with strong internal logic, let's segue over into the CW superhero-verse. So this week, we want to talk about TV pilots because for those... And Roxy, correct. This is my. I'm going to explain what I think a pilot is, and if I'm messing it up, please correct me. But essentially, the pilot is, in the most traditional sense, is the first episode of a show. Traditionally, a network would buy a pilot from a new series as kind of a proof of concept, and then either that ends up being the first episode, or it is retooled in some way to better fit the rest of the show. Which is why a lot of times when you'll see a pilot, it can be very tonally very different than the rest of the show. Sometimes characters that show up in the pilot don't show up in the first episode, don't show up later in the series. Sometimes, like infamously, Star Trek's pilot essentially got scrapped and then repurposed for an episode later on in that show. But it's basically, for in studio terms, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a proof of concept. And we're now living in a time where not a lot of shows always get pilots. Sometimes it's you just get a full series order. Like when you watch a Netflix show, does that first episode count as a pilot? Like, I don't know what
I think anything that is the first episode of a series counts as a pilot. Whether or not we ever see that thing is up to the studio. You know, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They shot their own pilot. Studio picked it up. They reshoot the pilot.
Yeah.
Friends, you see somebody completely different is cast in one role. And but that ends up sticking. Frasier, Lisa Kudrow is initially cast in that in the pilot. When they decided to not go with her, they reshot the whole pilot. Like, you hear all these stories about pilots, so there's all different versions. But yes, it is the first episode of a series.
Yeah, and so sometimes, which is pertinent to what we're talking about today, there's a backdoor pilot. You've already got a successful show. You're trying to introduce maybe a spinoff or a new show, so you have an episode that. It's basically like, now for something completely different, and we move over to this other show, and it's a way to it's a cost effective way to create a pilot, which pertains to episode 7 of season 4 of Black Lightning called Painkiller. Just Painkiller. If you look at other Black Lightning episodes, it's like book 5, episode 9, the son and the brotherhood, and this is just Painkiller. Letting you know that we're doing something different. And this is a backdoor pilot for the character Painkiller, played by Jordan Calloway. The synopsis of the episode is, Khalil Payne is a young man ridden with guilt as his troubled past from his former life in Freeland City as a super-enhanced killing machine known as Painkiller. After attempting to bury the Painkiller part of his persona, Khalil has distanced himself away in a new city, Akashic Valley, as his violent, destructive history crashes his idyllic new beginning. Khalil is thrusted back into action with a new mission, bring justice where he once gave out punishment. So let's talk a little bit about, now we've talked a little bit about pilots, we're going to talk more, but before we get into that, Roxanne, you and I both watched this. Initially we were talking about, because the pilot for The Nevers dropped this week, neither you or I were particularly keen. That Joss Whedon's no longer a part of that show, but he did direct the pilot. Neither I were you really stoked to get into that.
Talk about it. Watch.
Not that it apparently matters. Apparently, it's the best ever original series debut for HBO Max with 1.4 million viewers. Even though the reviews are not great, it's got a 49% on the Tomato Meter and a 73% audience score. But we didn't watch that. What we did watch is Painkiller, because we have a lot of history with CW shows. So what did you think about Painkiller?
I feel like, based on the fact that Jordan Calloway was in Riverdale and then in Black Lightning and then in both of them at the same time, and also I've met him and he seems to be an awesome dude,
cool,
that CW really likes him. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to make a show, a pilot about a character that I don't know necessarily, you know, of all of the backdoor pilots we've had in this universe, we got one for Flash. I believe that's what happened with Legends, or at least Sarah Lance kind of transferring over. Yeah. We got that Birds of Prey backdoor pilot.
Yeah.
Black Canary and the Canaries.
Yeah. Green Arrow and the Canaries.
Yep.
Yeah. But we did have that Birds of Prey episode that kind of felt like a backdoor pilot. And also the Task Force X episode was kind of meant to be a backdoor pilot.
Yep. We got a lot of them. I feel like this might be the least deserving of its own spinoff show. I have never at any point been clamoring for a Painkiller show.
Yeah.
Not the whole time that I watched Black Lightning. If I thought we were going to get a spinoff, I think there was about like seven other ones that I could have thought of prior to Painkiller. So conceptually, I don't know why we're doing this other than the fact that I really like Jordan Calloway.
Yes.
So that's the part of the show that worked, this episode that worked. Jordan Calloway's good. I like him a lot. Do I want to watch a show about the inner turmoil of him fighting with himself, which also I don't watch Black Lightning anymore. I'm several episodes behind, so I don't even actually really know what's going on or how he got. I'm trying to rack my brain to remember how he got this way, but you know, they kind of fill us in a little bit.
The last time I remember talking about it, Sam was convinced that he was super dead, and you were like, nah, I've watched too many of these shows. He's definitely coming back. And then he did. And then that's it. I don't remember. But when they said that he's getting a spin-off pilot, I just remember you telling Sam like, no, he's going to come back. And you were right. You were right.
Yeah, for sure. Cause he's really handsome.
So crazy handsome.
So that's how you know he's not dead. You know, if you are in the CW and you are really good looking, you're alive forever.
Yeah.
Just kind of the way that it works. So, yeah, this show was strange. It was interesting that they decided to make the backdoor pilot Anissa being the character that was, and Grace.
And her super confusing girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No part of watching this made me think I really want to watch this Painkiller show. Also, if you go on IMDb, there is a Painkiller series. Nobody's linked to it. Yeah. I don't see that there's any plans. So I don't even know when or what this would look like in the future. I think you and I both really like Alexander Hodge because coming as big Insecure fans, he is the effing shit on that show.
Yeah, he's so cool.
And also talk about easy on the eyes. I also think that he is just like, he's a stud. So for me, having Jordan Calloway and Alexander Hodge in this, I'm like, thank you at least for giving me the candy that I really appreciate when I'm watching CW. Yes. Thank you. And they're both talented too.
Yes.
So that's good. Other than that, I was kind of just like, have we made him Killer Frost? I don't know if you're watching Flash, but that right now what's going on with Killer Frost and Caitlin, it's kind of like watching that, but one of them is like what Killer Frost used to be. Is this too fake? Like what are we doing that's original? What is the storyline here? Who is he going to be? What would a season of this look like? Just to be honest, DJ, this pilot was not for me.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. We also had somebody in the Discord chat, STS2084. First, how bad was the Painkiller episode? Because wow, there's elements there that I find interesting. It was funny that just 2 weeks ago we went to Madripoor on Falcon and Winter Soldier, and then we went to this place that had to be in production at around a similar time, but it felt like very similar vibes. And I'm not a big fan of, I get why people like to dramatize, because it's hard to dramatize somebody's interiority, but I don't love it when people talk to people in their brain. Like I did not watch The Flight Attendant, but my wife was watching it. So every once in a while I would tune in, and Kaylee Cuoco was like incredible. Like, she's so talented. But like, when she's in like her brain space talking to the guy she killed, I'm like, I don't know what this is supposed to be for like a normal person. Like, what? And I think when you've got somebody as talented as Kaley Cuoco or even Jordan Calloway, they're actors. They can dramatize. You can, with acting, you can dramatize their interior struggles, I would think. I don't know if I need him to have kung fu fights in his brain. I just don't. It weirds me out.
Yeah, I actually love Flight Attendant, but I know what you're saying, because there were parts of it that made it feel like then she was a superhero, because like, your ability to then see what happened in the past by going through your brain, I'm confused on what is happening here. In this, I don't know if I don't know what's actually happening. And I mean that legitimately. Like, I don't know if he has been split in two and that's what's happened. Like, are we watching Killer Frost and Caitlin Snow?
Yeah.
Who, by the way, in Flash were just split up. And now we have two Daniel Panabakers.
Cool.
And they're just both. So is that what we're watching? There's two inside one and they legit could split?
Mm.
Or are we watching him fight his inner demons, and what part was turned off? You know, it's been a year since we've seen this. So what part was turned off? Also, unfortunately, they've really put their backs against a wall in certain situations here, because I don't even watch the show anymore. But what I remember talking about with you and Sam at the time was that he's asking about Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have him with Jennifer.
Yeah.
There's no love story there, because, you know, he like murdered all the people, and then it was just bad. It was bad for her. So I don't know what I'm supposed to be rooting for. I really like Jordan Calloway. I hope for nothing but success for him. If the show ends up being good, I'll eat my words, but I don't even know what the show is.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, just like, Green Arrow and the Canaries didn't get picked up. And actually, if this got picked up...
Was that what happened?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's basically dead in the water, which is crazy, because that backdoor pilot ended on a cliffhanger. So, I mean, maybe we'll have to wait for an episode of Legends to resolve that or something. But if that didn't get picked up, it's like, I don't see why this would... I would imagine that if it did, a lot of the Black Lightning writers would probably segue over to this. So, like, good for them, I think. Like, if that's, I don't know. I'm like you. I like Jordan Calloway. I like Alexander Hodge. I don't know. It's like, it did kind of bum me out. Like, oh, you're just the guy in the chair now? Like, you're too talented for this. Go do better things. You know, Insecure's ending soon. So, you know, good for him getting the work. I like those actors. So even if this doesn't get picked up, I do hope for good things for them. But I say that like it might not be a possibility. I have every reason to believe that they will go on and do incredible things, because they're very talented people. Everybody in this episode, I think, is really good. It's just the you could tell in the previously on, like, normally I skip over previously on, but like you, since it's been so long since I watched it, I was like, I need to catch up. And then it was just like, it's like, how are you going to get an audience in on all of this?
I don't know.
Like, this is insane, the amount of information you're asking people to buy into. But anyway, let's talk about, you know, like you mentioned earlier in the episode, Roxy, you and I have both written our own pilot. We've dabbled in the writing of pilots. Obviously, you know, you've been covering TV for a long time now. You've watched a lot of pilots. We've got some questions. Let's dive into that. Fly Guy Ty asked on the Discord, what do you think makes for a good pilot versus a bad pilot? And do you have examples of both?
DJ?
I think pilots traditionally, based on the conversation I have, are traditionally pretty bad. Like, they're not the best episodes of the show. Interestingly, I have a few episodes, a few examples of where the pilot, in my opinion, is the best episode of the show. And that's usually because I don't know that the show lives up. Like, you're going to disagree with me on this, Roxy, but I think The Walking Dead's pilot is one of the best episodes of that show. But that's because I don't think the show...
I don't disagree with you on the fact that I love the pilot.
Westworld.
Do disagree that it's the best episode of the show.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. I also think Westworld's pilot is way better than, I think, the rest of the
show. I love that pilot as well.
And I think in that example with Westworld, it's that kind of almost can exist as its own film in a way. But normally, And I think this is a problem we have with the Painkiller pilot. It's so burdened with like letting you in on all of the things, like setting everything up, that it doesn't get to exist as its own story. I think a good pilot is able to exist as its own story and able to take its time and not feel the need to like, it's more focused on letting you in on the feel of the world and on your central characters. I think one of the best pilots I've ever seen is the FXO show The Shield, because that lets you in on the world, how it operates, and who Vic Mackey is. Like, Vic Mackey is not an anti-hero. He is a villain protagonist. He's a bad person. And it lets you know right off the bat, and it sets up the conflict that is the heart of the rest of the show. So for me, it's if pilots are rarely good, and it's usually because they're just too burdened with explaining everything. What about you, Roxy? What are your thoughts on pilots? And do you have a couple, like...
I think, first of all, to me, a pilot, I give a lot of benefit of the doubt to a pilot. So if I'm watching a show and I'm basing, am I going to watch a show based on this pilot? For me, a pilot just needs to be good enough. Mm-hmm. I don't need a great pilot. Does a great pilot help? Yes, but it just needs to be good enough, because I know how many shows have not excellent pilots that end up being phenomenal. I don't love the pilot of Friends. I think that it technically does what it needs to do, but it's not that funny.
Yeah.
And this is a show that is a sitcom. So, you know, there's a lot of shows that I think really, really have mediocre Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. just no, but that show is excellent. So what a pilot for me needs to do is get me invested in at least one or more characters. So I want to see what that character's journey is.
Yeah.
Or storyline. And it needs to paint a picture for me of what that series might entail.
Yeah.
So what something might look like, and keep me entertained in the same way that I have talked constantly about how, to me, the best finale of all time is The Americans. I also think The Americans had a phenomenal pilot.
Agreed.
And everywhere in between. I loved the pilot of Atlanta. I thought Atlanta had a great pilot, because you feel like, what are these characters going to do?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening here? And when you're invested in the characters, then it's very easy to want to keep watching. Not as invested in the characters, but invested in the world. The Handmaid's Tale did a phenomenal job with its pilot, because what it does is it shows us a world that we do not understand. We don't know how it got to be this way. We don't know where, when, what, but we know that this is what it is and that they are going to explain.
Mm-hmm.
So that they did a really excellent job. I think it's easier to have an incredible pilot when you have source material, which they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that definitely helps. I also was going to mention The Walking Dead. DJ, I think that pilot did a phenomenal job, because it says, this is what the world used to be. This is now what the world is. And just like us, you are starting at this point with us.
Yeah.
You know, we are not in the thick of this. We are starting this journey together.
Yeah.
And that's a cool place to start a pilot. Yeah. Yeah. Those are some for sure that really stand out to me. I love the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt pilot.
And that did
a really good job too. It's really good because it's a comedy that is about something unbelievably dark. The premise of the show is that this woman, Ellie Kemper, has been in a bunker for 15 years because somebody convinced her that there was no outside world.
Yeah.
And she's been stuck in this bunker, like doomsday style.
Yeah.
And now is out.
Yeah.
And so, but it's a comedy, and just to be able to set this tone, like, this is hysterical. They picked the right actress for the part.
Yeah, she's so good.
Yeah. But the pilot does a great job being like, this is the world that we are throwing you into, and it's funny. So I don't know how it accomplished that, but I was like, wow, y'all did a great job with that.
Yeah.
It was very, very good.
Do you have any? So we've got we got a bunch of questions here, but we've kind of just been answering most of them as part of the conversation. Killer Marie asks, are there any backdoor pilots that didn't get picked up that you wish did? I had to remind myself some backdoor pilots, so I kind of pulled a list of some of them. Like, obviously, one that people talked about was Mercy Reef, which is a weird one because obviously they introduced Alan Richardson, his Aquaman in Smallville, but then the Mercy
Alan Richson.
Alan Richson.
Right, Richson, I think so.
AKA Hawk from Titans and Raphael from the most recent Ninja Turtle movies. And he played Aquaman on Smallville, but then they did the Mercy Reef pilot, which I have seen, but that had a different actor that went on to play Green Arrow in that show. So that's a weird one. As far as backdoor pilots that I would have liked to see take off, at the end of the original Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno, Incredible Hulk show, after that show went off the air, they did these two TV movies. One was The Incredible Hulk Returns, which featured Thor. And then they did The Trial of the Incredible Hulk, which featured Daredevil in his black ski cap outfit before it was introduced in the comics, I believe. And both those were meant as backdoor pilots to Thor and Daredevil, respectively. And it's kind of, as cool as it is that those movies exist, it is kind of a bummer that it never, like, I just imagine, like, I want to say, like, a late, sometime in the 80s, like, a Daredevil show would have been really interesting. There's also, apparently, before those were made, there was a live, very briefly in the 70s, there was a live-action Spider-Man show. And Bill Bixby had actually reached out to the actor that played Peter Parker in that show to see if they could do a Spider-Man Hulk crossover, and it got nixed for some, it's one of those that, like, different people will say different reasons why it happened. Like, the studio was like, Lou Ferrigno said he wouldn't do it, and then Lou Ferrigno, like, just a couple years ago was like, yeah, nobody told me, what are you talking about, like, I would have totally been down. But the idea of, like, a Spider-Man Hulk, live action Spider-Man Hulk crossover in the 70s blows my mind. So those would have been cool, I think. Do you have any backdoor pilots that you have fond memories of, Roxy, or that you kind of
trying to even remember? Wasn't there that Dwight Schrute Office backdoor pilot?
The Farm.
Yeah.
The Farm. Yeah.
I don't know, but I would watch him. I would watch Rainn Wilson watch paint dry. So I don't know. I don't know what that would have looked like, but I guess that I typically think that the backdoor pilots that end up being shows are the ones that deserve to be shows because people have spoken, but that's the only one that I can think of right now that I'm like, I would have watched this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, some famous backdoor pilots. One that stuck with me is Mork and Mindy of all movies or shows, which introduced Robin Williams to the world. Actually started, Robin Williams appeared as Mork from Ork on an episode of Happy Days. I believe Happy Days was also the show that broke Tom Hanks. And it's just one of those, like, if you go back and watch those episodes, you're like, oh yeah, this person was always going to be a megastar because it's just the screen lights up when they're there. NCIS is a spinoff of a show called JAG, which is just wild to think about, NCIS with all its things. But Roxy, as somebody that's written your own pilots,
mm-hmm.
what are some stuff that you try to, what's on your mind when you're writing a pilot? Like, what do you feel like you're trying to accomplish?
So unlike when I'm watching a pilot, when I give it the benefit of the doubt, to me, when I'm writing a pilot, it needs to be just so effing great because yeah. I am not Ryan Murphy. So it has to be awesome.
Yeah.
Which means that typically there needs to be some kind of either a cliffhanger or an event that takes place at the end of the pilot that makes you be like, I cannot not get the next episode of this. I have to know what happens next.
Yeah.
Which I don't think means always is like a prerequisite for a great pilot. But when you are trying to sell something, that definitely really is something I think about. I also try to have really well-rounded characters in a pilot. I think that for me, I am much more interested in ensemble pieces with at least three or more characters that have enough that you can really like bite into, because you don't know who is watching or reading. And if you have one main character and they don't like that character, mm-hmm. you're kind of in big trouble. So I definitely always prefer to add, I think four is my lucky number, where I've got like these four different archetypes and everybody can kind of glob on to one of them. And then you want to keep it moving. Like every three pages, you kind of want something to happen.
Yeah.
Which, you know, would would in TV time mean about every 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You want something to happen. So it's not, nothing's ever getting stale. There's either a reveal or a big payoff or whatever. You just want something to, you in a pilot episode, you don't want there to be 10 minutes that go by that feel like, did anything just happen? That all kind of was fine. So yeah. And then combing through every single line, if, especially if it's a comedy, what could be funnier here? How can you take this from a 10 to 11? So those mm-hmm. are some things for pilots that are so necessary that are not as necessarily maybe when you are looking at your second episode, third episode, mm-hmm. but for the pilot, it's like every word.
Do you, so, you know, we were just talking about how your tastes are broad, but when it comes to writing pilots, do you kind of focus on comedy, drama?
I'm in that half hour dramedy area, which is really like if they're being nominated, it's a comedy, but they're it's not a sitcom.
Yeah. I like the idea of ending on a cliff. Some of my favorite pilots, like I think about again, The Shield and Game of Thrones, also set up a premise that they detonate by the end of. Like one of the things that blew my mind with The Shield is it sets up a whole version of the show that it blows up at the end of it. It's like, actually, that's not what we're doing. This is we're doing something very different. And it's just one of those like, wait, whoa, what, now what? You know what I mean? And so then, and now you're hooked. Now you're in it. I also think it's important. And so this is something I like in TV in general. I think, you know, obviously shows have become more serialized and I like that a lot, but I also think it's important that if you, and I do the same thing when I write comics, when I write issues of comics, you imagine that this is the first one. It can exist as its own thing. You can clip it off from the rest of it, and it still kind of functions as its own self-contained story, which is not to say, you know, the back in the day where like every episode of Full House is almost like a reset, but to say that you are able to, you know, like good movies will start in media res. Like these characters have history that you don't know yet, but through what you're experiencing, you informed enough. Same thing with an episode of TV.
They say that your pilot really is supposed to be like your third episode in.
Yeah. And I think it's good with even just general and granted there's stuff we talked, there are bottle episodes that are meant to be more self-contained, but even then, like my first episode of that I watched of Breaking Bad was 1 minute, which is the episode where Hank confronts the twins from, you know what I mean? And so it's, and that's, I think that's the third to last episode on season 3. And yet I was able to just watching, I was being like, oh, I get what's happening. Even though I don't necessarily know the specifics, I'm able to understand people's relationships to each other and what people are going through in a way that I can connect to. And so I think that's, in a perfect world, every episode should shoot for that, but especially the pilot where if for whatever reason, this was it, it's kind of all you need. You know what I mean? Like it's self-contained in that way. So let us know in that. We got some people in the chat here. Danny M says the Cinerama Dome is a historical site, isn't it? That one should be okay. He also loves Warrior. M Yip 1978, speaking of Warrior, says, I believe the Chinese immigrants at that time would be Cantonese speaking. So I appreciate that.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't, I appreciate that. I don't, I think they say, unfortunately, I should be more informed on that, but it's, I think they handle it in that, in an interesting way, but let us know online on the internet, interwebs, what you guys think of pilots. You can find me at DJ Talks Trash, every place that matters. You can follow the show at Only Stupid Answers, everywhere that matters, but on Twitter.
Yank out the vowels from stupid.
Roxy, where can they find you and what should people be on the lookout for from you?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer, and in this upcoming week for the World Girls, we're certainly doing a lot of 420 content. Mm-hmm. So if you are a cannabis lover, supporter, or intriguer, if you're intrigued, we're going to be doing some content over there this week because we are a big, big fan. So that's the World Girls on YouTube, on Twitter, all of that. And then I'm live at the Roxy every day except for Saturdays right now. So cool. That's pretty much the schedule. And that's youtube.com/RoxyStrayer.
Very cool. Are you, Is there a end game for the
Lyra She's thoughts? Got no end game. Okay. No.
Cool.
Until I collapse.
Well, yeah. maybe just before that. As your friend, yeah. Maybe just before you collapse.
Yeah. Everybody's like, why'd you stop doing on Saturdays? And I'm like,
because I need a day off, goddammit.
Can y'all let me live a little?
I did it. I did 365 days straight. I did it. I did it. I me over here, I would have been proud if I did a week every day. I'm like, cool, I did a week. Bye, everybody. So be sure to go check that out. Thank you all for supporting the show. Please, 5 stars, please. Share, please, all of those things. Next week on OSA Live, we're going to be talking about the season finale of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And I want to thank everybody that joined us live. Danny M., Ulysses Campbell, MYIP 1978, Leonard Kim, Ryan McCoy, Kayla Marie, Glenn Caesar. So many great people. Really appreciate you joining us live. And we'll see you all next week. Bye, everybody.